We're glad to have you here this morning. Amen. Amen. And now another thing you can tell about our church, Perry Como comes to our church. He's at, Bob sounds just like him. I told him maybe he can make a whole Christmas album. I love to hear him sing. He's got a very relaxing voice, and so, hey. Maybe somebody hear this on the internet and think we got Perry Como here, and they'll come. Amen.
Someone wants to know who Perry Como is.
Oh, okay. I'm sorry. I forget how old I am sometimes.
But I know. Amen.
Who is he? Amen. So I guess I need to get to my message, the power of relevance. That doesn't seem to be too relevant. I want to go back to the book of John chapter 11, as we did begin last week with the power of relevance. I love the word of God because it's so personal, because it picks up where we are, where we're living. And sometimes you come to church and you go through our rituals and our formalities and all this kind of stuff, and you leave. And I thank God for the presence of God that we feel here. But sometimes we wonder, and we have to ask ourselves questions when we're alone and by ourselves, you know, how relevant is God to my life? How relevant is He? Because sometimes we go through things and it seems like they're different than what we read about or hear about, or everyone else seems to be on the mountain and you may be going through a hard time in your life, and sometimes it doesn't appear that He's relevant. Sometimes it doesn't appear that He's real. I mean, when you're hurting so bad and you're just doubting and you're just battling with doubt and fear, you second guess a lot of things in life. And that's how we all are. We all go through those times. But the Lord said you're going to have tribulation. Tribulation is very, very difficult times in our life. And I love the Word of God because it is personal. And He does care how we feel, and the Word of God is not filled with things that are always good. It shows us the good and the bad. And Mary and Martha are two people, Mary, Martha, and Lazarus, are really Jesus' family. They love Him. They've got connected with Him. Jesus always stays with them when He's in town. They just love Him. And He loves them. And sometimes we love God, but we don't understand God. We love Him with all our heart, but we are struggling to believe sometimes. And we're all there. We don't want to admit it. We don't want anybody to know that. But there are times when we say, God, you're a million miles away, and you just don't seem like you care. Sometimes we get angry. Sometimes we get angry. Again, we don't want anybody to know it. But sometimes we get angry at God because, God, I'm doing everything I know to do, and I just don't see you doing anything. Never got anybody's attention yet. Well, in chapter 11 in the book of John, we read this last week. We'll pick up on it. Now a certain man was sick, named Lazarus, of Bethany, the town of Mary and her sister Martha. It was that Mary which anointed the Lord. Now, why did he put that in there? Why was that phrase put in there? To let you know there's a spiritual relationship here. There's a deep love relationship that she recognizes that he is the Son of God. She recognizes that he's not just a prophet. He's not just a carpenter's son. She recognizes he is the Son of God, and how awesome it is to know that the great God I am is living in your home, or coming to visit you and stays with you, and you feed him and take care of him. And it makes reference that, you remember, she was the one who wiped his feet with her hair and anointed him with oil, which was a symbol that you are God. So there are times in our lives when we don't struggle with that. There's times in our life we know that he is who he is. But then there's other times we struggle. And it said, therefore, his sisters sent unto him, saying, Well, let me back up. Verse 2. And it was the Mary which anointed the Lord with ointment and wiped his feet with her hair, whose brother Lazarus was sick. So God, we're in your family. We love you. We worship you. We adore you. We understand who you are. And we've got some sickness. What do you do when the things that you know to do don't seem to be working? What do you do when you do everything you know to do and you still feel that heaviness? You still feel, because see, listen. The power of relevance is that God is indeed relevant, but we don't understand that relevance. Because we read about all the miracles and all the power and all this. You know, I've made this statement before. It is a miracle to be healed. It is a miracle to be delivered. It is a miracle when you pray for something and boom, it just happens. But what about when it don't happen the way you pray? It's even more of a miracle to believe when it's hard to believe. Am I making some connection? See, faith is not always praying and then get everything I want. Because you got to understand, God can do all things, but the most important thing he's interested in is you. And the most important thing he's interested in is that he is going to take care of you, but we don't always understand his care. Because he's more important, he's more interested in things in us than we don't even understand. Because we see things different. Verse 3 said, therefore his sisters sent unto him, saying, Lord, behold. You remember we stopped here last week. The word behold is saying, hey, I'm about to make an announcement because evidently you don't know. So they send word to Jesus. Now they've already, listen. You got to get this point right here. They've already recognized that he's the Son of God. They already recognized by his worship and all of that. But now, when the pressure comes on, the sickness comes on, the difficulty comes on, there's some stress there. There's some pressure there. Evidently, you don't know what's going on. That's good right there. Hold on to that point. I'm talking about the power of relevance, and I'm going to break it down in three ways. Number one is the perception. Number one is the perception of relevance. Is God relevant only in our mind? Is God relevant only in my understanding? Is he relevant? And the answer is yes, because I only understand him in the ways I understand him. But sometimes I can't lean to my understanding. Am I making myself clear this morning? But as a human, I am always going to lean to my understanding first. I'm always going to go to my limitations because I am a human and I have human tendencies and I have human feelings. And I'm always going to deal with them first because, listen, we live in a natural world every day, right? Some days we feel more spiritual than others, but we always feel natural, right? Because that's what we deal with. Let me explain what I'm talking about. Do you find yourself saying, hey, I'm too happy, let me calm down? Amen? No. I'm walking on water. Hey, I need to calm down. No, you find yourself having to build yourself up because, you know, it's Monday morning, it's early, everything's going wrong, nothing's going right. You're not having to calm yourself down then, are you? Because you're too happy. You're having to deal with life. Life happens, and I wish I could explain it all. And that's why 1 Peter 1:13, Peter's saying sometimes you got to gird up the loins of your mind because the major, major warfare zone is your mind. Why? Because your mind is so connected to who you are. I know me. I know me better than you know me, and you know you better than you know you, and you know what our limitations are, and sometimes we struggle with that. And sometimes we're made to feel guilty of who we are. Maybe I don't hang from chandeliers and jump over pews, and maybe I don't do all that. Does that mean I'm not as spiritual as the other? Are y'all with me this morning? The power of relevance is perception. So she's saying, now you got to get, that's important that you get that. She's saying, behold. Now, the tone of her voice has changed. The tension has changed. Let me tell you something. Pain and tension and stress will change you. I know y'all didn't know that. So I'm telling you that. Amen? When you are going through things and they are overwhelming you, your whole personality changes. You become a little more snappy. You bite heads off. Amen? Y'all, I'm just. And we have to calm ourselves down sometime and go back sometime and say, I'm sorry, I didn't mean to bite your head off. It's what I'm going through. And I'm going to tell you something. God understands that. Because I'm going to tell you something. Sometimes we're not prepared for what's coming our way. And so she says, behold, I just need you to understand, you know, we were grilling out the other night and everything was good. Everything was lovey-dovey. But now, you know, now you're gone. And see, Jesus isn't with them right now. So the perception is, where are you, Lord? Where are you? Now, for us to begin to ask that question automatically tells us we are being overwhelmed in our sense of knowledge, because we all know that God never leaves us nor forsakes us. If I was to go to you and say, do you believe that God is God? Yes. Do you believe He's everywhere? Yes. Do you believe He ever leaves you? Yeah. Well, what'd you say? Do you believe that God leaves you? No, no, He don't never leave me. Oh, but sometimes our mind says, what'd you do wrong? Boy, that's a weight, isn't it? What's going on with me and my family? What in the world have I done? You know, that's, you know, Job was going through, I mean, he was losing family members. He was losing everything. And here comes the church crowd and says, praise the Lord. What are you doing wrong? Y'all know I'm telling the truth. Amen. You don't need friends like that. Amen. Verse 4 says, now let me go back to verse 3, because this is real good. I want you to get all this. Therefore, his sisters sent unto him. I want y'all to go find where he's at. Y'all got to get the tone now. You got to have a little attitude when you get this. I mean, I know y'all don't know nothing about attitude, but work with me on this, okay? Work with me. Because ain't nobody here has an attitude. But I'm talking about them people you know that has attitudes. Amen. And so they say, I want you to go get him. And let me tell you, when you are going through struggle, that is when you are most vulnerable to all sorts of actions. You are tested. You are pressured. You're feeling overwhelmed. Your sensory organs are just going crazy. Your stomach's upset. And you're just going through a difficult time. And you keep hearing the enemy say, why? 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 Why is this happening to me? See, if God has made a perfect world and it's called heaven. He did it one time before, but sin entered in and messed that up. So he went ahead now and made another place that will never be messed up again. But while we are here, now answer me one thing. Why do bad things happen to good people? Well, I wish I could answer that. All I can say is that we live in a cursed world who we are victims sometimes of this life. Amen. Why do people get sick? Why did my mother die of cancer? And everything I'm preaching to you people right here is a sermon that I lived when I was going through stuff with my mom. God answered a lot of questions. You know what? He told me, he put me in a place one day. I got a call this morning from a pastor friend whose mother is very, very sick, that I don't talk to a whole lot. Says, you know what? God is using what I went through to help other people. And one thing I want to tell you is that God is relevant. Perception is that he's gone. And look at verse 4 now. I want you to get this here. All right. The second power of relevance is pain. There's perception and there's pain. And along beside of pain, put a slash there and put preservation. God preserves us in pain. So I want you to see something here, verse 4. Now this is the part right here when you are going through difficult situations. I want to tell you something. Everyone in here is going through something. Some things we know about what you're going through, but I guarantee you this. I've had some of the most trying weeks in the last 3 weeks that I have ever had in a long time. I'm telling you, night and day. And I know why it is, because when I am giving the truth, the enemy tries to come and make me pay for that. But you know, that's all right. I'm like Paul, to be absent bodies present with the Lord. You know, it doesn't, if you want to take me, that's fine. Take me, because I'm just going to go home a little quicker. But I'm giving you the truth. I'm not preaching you some little cloud that you float on. If you just believe, everything's going to be fine. Let me tell you something. When you are going through difficult times, you need more than that. Amen. And the worst thing that anybody can do is say something new that's insensitive. Amen. Because you're not ready for that. Look at verse 4. Is anybody getting anything out of this? Amen. Verse 4 says, when Jesus heard that, that wasn't the first time he knew about that. But he hears their hearts. I want you to get this next part. This sickness is not unto death. The power of relevance. What do you mean? He's sick. You won't in there when the doctors gave their report. You won't in there. You don't hear what's going on. You don't see what the tests say. Are you so out of touch? I mean, how can I look at anything else? And I want you to get this part right here. God may not take you out of every situation you go through, as some people would say. If you had enough faith, you wouldn't go through. Jesus said, in this world, you're going to have trouble. Didn't he say it? If he went through things, don't you think you and I are going to go through things? So don't tell me that my faith isn't good enough, or I wouldn't have financial problems, or I wouldn't have physical problems, or I wouldn't have issues. There's a curse in this world. That's why there's so much evil around, and we are byproducts of that. But Jesus did not bow down and just give up. He made another way. I love Psalm 23. He's a shepherd that though you walk through the valley of shadow of death, you don't fear any evil. He's there with you. Amen. He makes a way. I wish I could tell you things. I wish we could reverse what the doctor said. I wish we could reverse what the bank said. Oh man, my heart breaks, because you know what? There are little children going to bed hungry. I saw a sign the other day, and it said, walk to eliminate hunger. And I understand what they're doing. That's a great cause. But you know what I said? Hunger will always be here as long as there's irresponsibility. When men and women don't moan or don't line up with who they're supposed to be, there's always going to be some hunger. There's always, and I don't understand it. It breaks my heart to see a child hungry. And there's things going on all around us that breaks your heart, doesn't it? And if you're not careful, you'll let that overwhelm you and say, God, where are you at in all this? I'll tell you where he's at. He's right there holding you and bringing you through things that in yourself you could not get through. Amen? He's protecting you from the storm. It's just like if you got a little child and a tornado was coming to your home, what's the first thing you would do? You grab them babies. You grab them, son, and you hold them tight. It's going to be all right. We're going to weather this storm. Amen? And that's what God said. I gave my blood for you. I gave my life for you. I sent the Holy Spirit to you so that you would never, ever go through stuff alone. Pain. God is identified with pain. I'm going to close with this. God's identified with pain. When you're going through difficult situations, your emotions just break down on you. Have you ever known someone that had a breakdown? You ever talked to anybody like that? You ever been around anybody like that? It's sad. Because they just let, it feels like the whole world's crushing in. Your nerves are real. You ever heard anybody say, you get on my nerves? Turn to one beside them and say, you get on my nerves. Go ahead and say it. Don't you feel bad? Amen. Don't you feel bad? Amen. Boy, I'm glad I said that. And if she gets mad at you on the way home, what a preacher said, say it. Amen. So you're good. We're good now. We're good. But your nervous system is the biggest thing we have to fight. Depression, anxiety, they're real. Amen? Oh, just get over it. I want to take a ball bat and just get over on them. Amen? Y'all pray for your pastor now. I ain't there yet. I ain't got all them Ten Commandments yet. Y'all pray for me. Amen? I'm working on it. Amen. I ain't always been saved. Amen. Some of y'all ain't always been saved. And y'all slip once in a while. Slip. Amen. Y'all act like you don't know what slip means, but you know. Amen. Emotions just go crazy. You just don't know what. You know why? Because you're being overwhelmed. Your nerves just, you get in the shower and it just hurts for the water to hit you. You cry and you cry and you cry and some of you just cried out. You just don't know what to do. I want to tell you something. Here's the last thing. Lord, I thank you. I thank you for the power of relevance, because you do preserve my pain. But the last thing is protection. Look what he said here in verse 4. This sickness is not unto death. You know what God just overwhelmed me? You know, there's sometimes I really, really miss my mom. She's been gone now about 8 years, and I do miss her. And whenever that happens, there's an overwhelming presence that comes to me. Because you see, I was so selfish at one time. And I think we got a right to be, because, you know, we don't want to lose nobody. We don't care who they are, we don't want to lose them. But you know what the Lord taught me? He said, listen, son, nobody's leaving until I say so. First thought. Some people say, you worried about death, you're at that age now. You know, we go ahead and categorize everything. You're at that age now. You're fixing to go. Amen. I said, you know when I'm going to go. And some of y'all ain't going to get this. You're not in a state where but it'll come to you later when he says, I will not leave. Now, I can get out there and eat crazy and act crazy and be crazy, and I can kind of add it up. I can kind of, you know. But even then, I'm not leaving till he says. So God showed me this scripture here. He said, this sickness is not unto death. What do you mean it's not unto death? In the process of waiting for Jesus, he dies. Lazarus dies. Just dies. Been dead 4 days. What do you mean? Because you know, you ain't helping me. You said it was not unto death. Because listen, we understand death as final. But I'm going to tell you what it's not. You know what I love? You know what the Lord taught me about my mom? He says she never tasted death. See, it don't come real to you till it comes to your house. Amen? It don't come real to you till it comes to your house. But then when it's your house, it's different. The Bible says, I go to prepare a place for you, that where I am, there you may be also. The protection is this. God is relevant. Through the doctor's office, through the emergency ward, through the job unemployment line, through whatever you're dealing with, he's relevant. And the word says that when it's all over with, listen, but for the glory of God, and this scripture right here has been totally misused and taken out of context. It said, this sickness is not unto death, but for the glory of God, that the Son of Man might be glorified thereby. People don't even know what they're talking about when they say, well, God's going to get the glory in that. What are you talking about? There's no glory in sickness. There's nothing good. You can't tell me there's nothing good about it. I tell you what is good about it. His presence. The glory there is talking about the presence of God. When I watched my mother breathe her last breath, if I had not had God with me right then, I would have been a mess. But I did have him. And you know what? Angels came and they ushered her right on in. You see, we go through this. Do y'all know what we do when we do this? You know, every service, we do it. But you know why you do it? You do it to remember what he did. What did he do? He gave his blood. Death, where is thy sting? Grave, where is your victory? So we can make a dent. We can do this. We can live the rest of our life worried about death, worried about what's going to happen. Or we can take each day to the glory of God and say, Lord, thank you for your presence. You know, today was hard, but you helped me through it. Help me get through the mar. And guess what? He'll take you through every day. He'll take you through every day. And when it comes time for you, I don't want to lose none of y'all. I hope and pray that y'all come to my funeral first. I really do. But if I had to go to one of yours, I'm going to miss you. But I know soon, and very soon, I'm going to be back there with you. Amen. Soon and very soon, I was talking to a saint this weekend, and tears just come to their eyes. You know, we're talking about losing someone, and they said, you know, it's not going to be long. It's not going to be long. Tears just welled up in their eyes, and they said, it's not going to be long. We're all going to be together. Amen. He is a relevant God. And he will give you the strength you need today. He'll give you the wisdom you need today. If you need someone to talk to, he will work it out. That's because he's an awesome God. We have to put our hand in his hand. And would you stand? The power of relevance. God, where are you? He's right here. He's right here. I was so confused. During that time, I was listening to all the different voices. And I had to get myself away and just get away from everybody and just listen to his voice. How many of you believe today that he's a God that loves you and cares about you? Would you raise your hand? And I want to tell you today, he's going to take care of you. No weapon formed against you is going to prosper. My prayer today is whatever storms you're facing, whatever you're going through, that there'll come a peace. The presence of God will come in you and he will cover you and give you strength. Father, we pray in the name of Jesus today. We thank you for your word. We thank you, Lord, that it is a light unto our pathway. I'm so glad, God, to know today that you don't leave us, that you don't forsake us. Lord, we've been through some times in our lives that if it had not been for you, we couldn't have made it. And God, I don't understand everything we're going through right now. But Lord, these are hard times for all of us. And sometimes we have the tendency, God, just to give up. But I pray a spirit of encouragement upon everyone here this today. Not to give up. Keep pressing on. Whatever they're dealing with. Some are dealing with sicknesses. Some are dealing with other issues. Some are dealing with financial situations. I ask you, God, to make a way where there is no way. But most of all, let your glory be revealed. And Lord, let our final prayer be, God, give me wisdom. I don't understand what's happening. I don't know how to handle it. I need your wisdom. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Before you leave, I want you to turn to one beside him and say, you're going to make it. You're going to make it. They may need that. Amen.